Welcome to The Last Damn Word with me, Angbeen.
Nicole.
And Claudia.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Last Damn Word. And this week, we have the Pride edition of The Last Damn Word. How are you guys feeling about this episode?
Sexy. We love Pride.
Excited.
We love to be prideful. This is going to be... I was going to say we love the LGBT, but we are the LGBT.
So true. Before we get into like all of the other stuff we're going to talk about in this episode, we just wanted to take a few minutes and just talk about the legacy of Sophie, the trans producer who passed away. How long has it been? Has it been like a week?
Yeah, I think so, a week.
I don't know. It feels like both a really long time ago and also like it just happened yesterday.
Right? Like, I swear, I think everyone I know like remembers exactly where they were sort of when they found out. Like, I remember texting one of my friends who introduced me to her music and just being like, have you seen the news? She's passed away. Like, I don't know if this is real or not. And like, there was so much speculation to like, some people were talking about how she'd, I don't know, gotten into a car accident. Someone was saying she's ill. It was just such a mess and such a horrible loss.
I know. When I saw the news break, everyone was, because I don't think her label said anything. And then it was just basing it off her close friend's Instagram story. And then everyone was like, no, it can't be true.
And the way she died was just so... What do you even say, you know?
Yeah.
How do you find any comfort in such a sudden death?
And I think my friend pointed out, I think it's really sad to a lot of people about the way she died, because I think it's the first time in a very long time that you hear of a trans person dying. And it's not because of a, you know, a hate crime or anything of that sort. It was just an accident. You know, the fact that we even have to go to this length, like, think about how a lot of trans people, they die in the hands of other people. And then, you know, in this case, Sophie, she just went like that.
Yeah, I mean, and especially like the way this country treats trans people. The DERF island that we live on. Planet DERF. It's just so many trans people, so many famous trans people had so much like pressure on them. And there's just so much that they have to deal with, and so many of them, you know, like, you know, the queer community at large, but especially trans youth, like, for us, this was such a major loss. Like, I am a cis woman, and her music meant so much to me. So, you know, I can't imagine how important it was for a lot of trans people. And I think for me personally, I started listening to her at a time where, like, I was sort of leaning in more deeply into my identity. And I think it really, really made all the difference.
Honestly, it's just... she was just a gift. What can you really say? You know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's a huge loss, definitely. I didn't even want to believe it when I first saw it. Like, I just woke up briefly, checked my phone and saw something about it, but I thought it was just, you know, not true, since it was just a plain tweet from one of her fans.
Yeah.
And then a few hours later, I saw the actual news.
It still doesn't feel real at all, but no.
Same.
All we can do, I suppose, is try to honor her memory. And, you know, if you're listening to this, I encourage you to stream her music if you've never heard her before. You know, she's everywhere. She's on Spotify. And I think she's one of the producers who, like, has had such a huge impact on pop music generally. Like, she's produced for pretty much everyone. For Charlie, for Nicki, and, you know, I think
to honor
my face is the front of shop.
That line always gets stuck in my head.
No, right? Like, it's so good. I honestly, like all morning today, I've had Immaterial playing in my head because I was thinking of recording this episode. Okay, so moving on. This episode is about all the gay media that we've consumed. And our top favorites are gay awakenings, the icons who like shaped our identities, and, you know, remind us of the community that we belong to. Let's talk gay awakenings.
Wow.
Let's
dive straight into this.
Yes, we are diving straight into all of the cartoons that have made me the person I am.
Okay. First one, Kim Possible.
Chigo from Kim Possible.
Chigo, yes, most definitely.
What was she so sexy for?
Exactly.
The tension between her and Kim. Something was going on, I'm just saying.
No, really, there was something going on.
And I was never into like Kim's like nerd boyfriend. Like, get out of here.
That was the most unnecessary couple. Like, why were they together? There was no need. They were so good as best friends too. Like,
I don't know why they have to force love stories out of like friendships.
Honestly, he seemed like her assistant to me.
Right?
No, literally, he was the sidekick. Like, Kim, you deserve an equal.
Chigo.
Named Chigo.
So true.
They reboot Kim Possible to make it a enemies to lovers story between Kim and Chigo.
They better.
We need to pitch it to them.
I would pay for that. I mean, you know I would pay for that. Oh my god, this reminds me. Did you guys like watch Powerpuff Girls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, I found like the feminist villain really, really sexy. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember her name. Wait, I need to look it up.
Femme Fatale.
Oh yes, that was her name.
She was hot.
I agree.
Can we just think about how it was completely unnecessary for them to make all these characters hot?
No, literally.
Why do that to us?
And Sedusa, like the lady who tried to be nice to like marry the professor.
Oh my god, wait, do you know also from the Powerpuff Girls? The girl whose face they never showed, just Ms. her Bella. Chest.
Miss Bella.
I was looking.
That show was actually really problematic in certain ways. Like, I'm thinking of him, who was like very obviously queer coded.
Yeah. I was rooted for him though.
Same. Like, he was just so much cooler than those girls.
Honestly.
Like, okay, they were kids, but also. Like, he just had something about him. He sounded like a messy gay, and I love that energy. I love all the messy gays. Let's talk about Avatar.
You're trying to start something. Where do I even start with Avatar? Not the really flop blue alien movie that no one cares about. Can I just say, whenever anyone talks about Avatar, they should be talking about the Airbender.
Can we talk about Azula?
Why do you even have to ask?
Can we never stop talking about Azula?
So true.
Honestly, I agree.
I think her craziness was part of the attraction, to be honest.
I agree. But women are unhinged.
So true. There's nothing like an unhinged woman, I think, for the gaze. And I also really, I mean, I wouldn't say I found Toph especially attractive.
But she was so cool.
Yeah, she was so cool. Like, she just had a presence.
Also, what is Jessica Rabbit so hot for? Why did they make a rabbit character that hot?
Isn't she a lady? She was married to Roger Rabbit.
But they're both rabbits then.
No, I swear she's a rabbit.
She's not a rabbit.
Yeah.
Is she? Mm. Did I forget that?
Okay,
oh, she's a lady. Yeah. Look her up.
I always thought she was a rabbit. Just without the ears.
Hold on. First of all, you're a fake fan. Second, what is a cartoon that looks like a human, that's a rabbit, that doesn't have ears? Is that not just a human?
I always thought that her actual last name was Rabbit.
No, she's married to Roger Rabbit.
I never processed in my brain that it would be her husband's. Okay, she's not a feminist queen then. Why can't she just keep her own last name?
So true.
So true. Get her.
All right. I think we've had enough. I think...
Okay.
Let's move on to TV. And what Pride episode would be complete without talking about... Guess what I'm going to talk about?
Euphoria.
No. Something a little bit... Something a little bit more long running.
Honestly,
High School Musical.
That's a movie.
Oh.
At this point, I'm just gonna start saying whatever TV shows that come to mind. Friends.
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 The show, a group of straight people in New York, as if that's believable.
Can I just say, I always thought Phoebe was cute. I never watched Friends. I always thought Phoebe was cute. I don't care what the rest.
I understand.
I understand, yes.
Okay, well, I was going to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, other end of the spectrum, but go ahead.
When you say TV shows, I think of scripted. I guess RuPaul is scripted. But it's a reality TV show.
But come on. RuPaul's Drag Race.
On the behalf of Viva Sound. We do not condone or support RuPaul's fracking practices. I just want to put it out there. I don't want people to listen to this episode and think like, oh, are the hosts like stans? Do they know that RuPaul's like causing all this environmental damage?
Or his fucking transphobia? Absolutely not. Like, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the show right now. Like, I mean, I'm not watching it properly, but like every now and then I'd sort of like go through Stan Twitter or whatever to see what's going on. But I think there's a trans queen on the show, which like is nice. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. But also, it's to me, I don't know if this is me being cynical, but considering RuPaul's track record, this like sudden invitation to a trans person to join the show seems very much like, oh, well, I'm not transphobic. I let this person on here, you know? Mm-hmm. It to me, like, it seems very much like, I mean, I not that he's not talented. I also think that I wouldn't be surprised if RuPaul had been overlooking him and other trans queens like him for a really long time. And now it's like, oh, well, we need to do damage control. So let's have them. Let's have one token on the show.
Honestly, I haven't seen the episode, but I wouldn't put that past him or like, you know, the writers or the producers of that show. The sad thing is we're not even surprised that he would do such a thing.
No, exactly. Like, it's so typical, isn't it? Okay. RuPaul's Drag Race has always been really, like, scripted.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's entering such bad, over-scripted territory these days. Like, the last few seasons are so fucking unwatchable.
I agree. I stopped watching.
Literally, like, I think the last season I properly watched was, like, what's the name of that really weird queen?
You're talking about anyone right now.
No, literally, I realize now. Oh, the weird queen who won.
Let me Google that. With queen.
No, I'm literally doing that right now. Eve Yardley, found her.
Okay. That is a weird name.
She is a weird queen. Like, I loved her personally, but her drag was very, like, out of the box and everything. I think after her season, everything that happened, I hated it. I could not stand that show after her. And even, like, with her season, like, it was on thin ice at that point.
I'm sorry, I can't add anything because I don't watch RuPaul.
Fair play. Fair play.
Yeah, I watched, like, one season. I can't remember which one it was, honestly.
To give the show some credit, I feel like it did definitely, as messy as its politics have always been, that's where I learned about drag from.
Same.
And that's where, like, I learned about a lot of queer culture from. Like, I think it was a real, like, crash course in queer culture for me as someone who, like, didn't grow up around, because I didn't grow up in the Western world, so I had no idea what was going on in terms of queer culture. And, like, even with my other queer friends, it would be like, these weren't our references. And I think that show sort of, like, made me understand a lot of stuff that I didn't have any exposure to.
The thing is, I am the same, because I've never heard of it, you know, quite recently. As in, like, that's where I learned most of queer culture from. But also, the surprising thing to me is that maybe because I've not been exposed to the show or anything similar to it before. When I heard that, like, you know, my straight cis friends were watching it as well, that came to as a shock to me. I don't know why. I still can't process why. But also, I just feel like it blew up really fast.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I still don't get why, honestly.
No, yeah, I feel like there were like 5 memes online, because like literally only a couple of years ago, it was like this thing that was on Tumblr that like a couple of people I know watch, but I barely ever heard of it. And then a few years after that, like I want to say sometime around 2015, 16, it was just everywhere.
Who was that? Okay, I don't remember their names, but you know the 2 drag queens that like started a YouTube series?
Katya and Trixie, were they the ones?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Trixie, I love them, though. They're my favorite queens. Same. I don't like Trixie that much, but I really love Katya.
Yeah, but they were just everywhere. You know, even local Twitter was, like, quoting them and stuff. Okay, moving on. I think a show that's been, I don't know, semi-blowing up again recently with the new, what do you call it, special episodes? You know what I'm talking about.
Euphoria.
Euphoria. Okay.
Yes, Euphoria, with my loves Zendaya and Hunter Schaefer.
Well, actually, funny story, I saw Hunter at a fashion show in London.
What?
She was very nice.
How did you get into a fashion show?
No, there were multiple people there. I went for Jisoo and I ended up seeing Lucas, FKA Twigs,
Hunter. You saw FKA Twigs?
This Italian rapper, Dua Lipa.
You saw Dua Lipa?
Multiple times.
Wait, hold on. I just want to say, why have you never mentioned seeing FKA Twigs or Hunter Schaefer was ever before this episode?
It never came up.
Besides, it was a very traumatic day because afterwards I had my phone stolen.
Oh, that day.
Well, yes, that day.
You win some, you lose some.
Exactly.
She lost all her pictures.
Yes, I did. Except from the ones I tweeted.
This is why you should live tweet everything, everyone.
Honestly. Oh, I saw Naomi Campbell as well.
Oh.
Hello.
But hello. I think some people consider her to be problematic.
Oh, she is problematic, but she's also pretty hot, so.
Yes.
It's a bit of a toss-up.
Exactly.
But oh my god, I love Hunter Schaefer so much. I love
Same.
Her.
She's so pretty.
I love her art. I love her looks. I just love everything about her.
She doesn't know this, but in my head, I'm her bestie.
Same.
Hunter, we are going to post this on Twitter and we're going to tag Hunter.
Can you just go to timestamp this is?
Yeah,
just listen to this part. Don't even bother with the rest of the podcast. Just listen to this part where we say you are our bestie.
If you want to get in touch with Nicole, you know, send us a message. We'll send you her email address, her number, whatever.
We are all in love with her, so. Let's not single me out here.
That is true.
Oh my god. Wait. If we post this and tag her, can I just ask, Hunter, do you remember me? I was one of the thousands of fans outside of the venue for London Fashion Week.
Don't say yes just to be nice. You can just say no, I don't remember you. I would remember you.
Hunter, I remember you. I hope you remember me.
But no, I love those special episodes I watched. And honestly, like I feel like after this recording, I'm going to be very tempted to rewatch the Hunter one because it was just so, oh, it hurt my heart so much.
I need to rewatch it. I need to. Also, can I just? I was just reflecting. Can we just talk about how all the girls there in the show were hot, and then the men were just there. Especially all the straight men were just there. They were just like kind of mean,
So
bad.
true.
What's the
Speaking of women on that show, Sydney Sweeney, if you are free.
So true.
Oh my God, yes.
So
I'm
true.
sorry. I have to 100% back this up and also say she's mine. You guys can back off.
Are we just like picking our faves now?
Not even
Yes.
single, Claudia.
Explain this to your girlfriend.
Sydney, I am free on Thursday evening. Are you free on Thursday evening to hang out? I am free on Thursday evening. Please let me know if you are free on Thursday evening. I will be waiting.
When I send you this episode to your girlfriend,
I think she'll agree.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's one of the very few like teen shows that isn't ridiculously cringy. And I really feel like I think one of my favorite things, aside from like all the representation and how it was made for the gays, is just that to me, like it watching it really, really reminded me of my time in high school. And you know, like I wasn't leading a life half as wild as theirs, but it's just I think it's a show that really like captures the sensation of like the world being really new and exciting and also scary at the same time. In a way that it just is when you're like 16. Like, I don't think I've felt like, okay, this could be the antidepressants talking, but you know, like since I've started uni, I don't think I've felt as intensely or like as alive as I did in high school. And I just think that that show really takes you back in like a way that isn't too idealistic.
And I feel like out of all these shows that are like targeted towards teen, looking at Euphoria and like I don't know, Riverdale or like the Sabrina one,
Or
those
Skins,
are.
which I think is the best sort of like comparison, the best parallel.
I agree. But like, you know, in today's time, Euphoria is really the only not super cringy teen show, you know. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Riverdale now.
Oh my God, no
Like, did you
comment.
see the trailers? Like, people are going to war and like Veronica's getting married. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, have ended the show like 5 seasons ago.
Literally.
You will never be Euphoria, I'm just saying. You are a showmate for the straight people, and I don't understand.
Also, I don't know if you guys have seen the show. I don't think you have, but another show that I really, really love is Bones. So it's on Fox, and I think it was made by the guy who created Glee, which, by the way, I think Glee is something we should talk about like
Oh
expeditiously.
yes, definitely. Oh my God, Naya, I miss you.
Oh my God.
We need to talk about Glee.
I swear, like I think as much as I like hate what Glee turned into, in the first few seasons it was so funny. It was so insane. And like this is really cringy, but like I started watching it at a time where like I was just sort of thinking about my identity. So, and I was like really, really young when I started watching it, as I think all of us were. There was just something about that show that was really, really important. And I think for like, you know, like I think all of us have been on Twitter or Tumblr or like these sort of online communities where most of like our ideas about like pride and LGBT culture and community sort of like this is where they were formed. And it was such a big thing everywhere. And it was so much a part of the experience. Like, when I tell you the number of Darren Criss fan blogs I followed in those days,
I remember.
those, when everyone was obsessed with like those pictures of him in the colored Ray-Bans, you know what I
Yes.
mean. Like,
I know.
Yes.
I hate that I know, but I know.
that was such a moment for like this entire generation.
I think that is the
Literally.
iconic, that is the iconic LGBT TV show, for these people our age.
Honestly, like, There is not a damn person I know, like straight or gay, who hasn't seen Glee. It's just, I it's
sense, but like their songs were like, their songs were like good.
No,
yeah, I'm sorry. It is safe to admit some covers are better than the original. Not controversial. It's true. It's true.
True. I don't agree.
Especially.
No, okay, some of them. Better. Some of the covers were better. Some of them, but yes. Like.
Are we bringing controversial song opinions now?
Oh dear.
We're going into some dangerous territory with this episode.
Tune in to our next episode where we battled it out between Glee covers and the original song.
Oh my god, yes. Let's do a versus battle.
Well, the guy who created Glee also created Pose. Mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy, who has given us so much TV. Can I just say,
a lot.
Without him, we wouldn't have AHS or Glee or Pose
or Scream Queens.
Oh my god! So Pose is about like the ball culture scene in the 1980s and the 1990s in New York. And it stars India Moore, Billy Porter, MJ Rodriguez. It has so many trans women. And I think for that alone, it's so amazing how many trans stars it has really lifted up and given a huge, huge platform to, who are so talented, who are so good. Like India Moore in that show, she's so good. And I just think that like that show is so interesting to watch. Like if you're listening to this and like you're interested in the ball culture, or like, you know, you saw Paris is Burning and you really liked it, you need to see Pose, because you know it talks about everything from what was going on in society at large to the AIDS crisis to, you know, how the sort of ball culture worked, how like the, like you guys must have heard of how different performers have like these houses, mm-hmm. how that sort mm-hmm. of culture worked, what it meant to be like a house parent of some sort. And it's just, it's amazing. Like it is such a powerful show. And also it, and I swear I watched it in like 2 days. I finished that in 2 days just because of how gripping it was. Although I will say I have my own reservations with season 2 because of like some of the weird political ideas it was going into, and like, but that's for another episode. So yeah, like if you find this interesting, check it out. I think it's on Netflix. We free are promo. Streaming free promo because we have such a huge platform at LSD.
Are you looking down on us?
Is it time to talk about Glee?
I think we have talked about Glee, haven't we?
What else do you want to add about Glee?
Yes, do you have anything more to add?
Yes, that I miss Naya. And that's about it.
Honestly, I just think the way she passed away was so, so tragic.
And yeah, especially since it took so long to find out what actually happened.
Right? Like, and her and Brittany on that show. I think that's one of the, like, saddest storylines.
Mm.
Like, okay, I didn't watch far enough to know, like, if they got together for good or not, but, like, the sort of journey they had to getting there was, of course, like, really sad. But what
yeah, they did end up together. Yeah, good, they had them. A wedding in the last episode.
They're safe.
They are the only ones that matter.
Exactly. So moving on, why don't we talk about music?
Let's talk about JoJo Siwa.
Let's.
Legend. So I have to
say. Legend. Queen. Quite literally.
I actually haven't read that interview where like she talked about having a girlfriend, so I don't know what exactly she said.
Oh, she just said she was on FaceTime with her girl. She, like her exact words. I was on FaceTime with my girl when I posted the TikTok, because she initially posted the TikTok. But it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't explicit that she was coming out, but I mean, obviously people guessed since she used like rainbow lighting or whatever. And then she made a separate post about it, confirming it a few days after. And then she was on a late night interview talking about how after she posted that, she was on FaceTime with her girlfriend.
With Jimmy Fallon, on the late night show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Not Jimmy Fallon.
Not Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, we do not support him. Another disclaimer.
We have a lot, we hate a lot of people. We are haters on this podcast.
And for good reason.
And for good reason.
Yes. Wait, let me just add that. I wish Juju Siwa and her girlfriend a very pleasant day and week and month and year and life.
Agree.
So true. Honestly, when I found out about her coming out, my first thought was just that one TikTok she posted, the swipe challenge one.
Have
I seen that?
Do you follow her on TikTok?
I do not. But like, she did that one. Like, this was in the early months of the panoramic, the Panda Express, the
panini,
the pandemic.
That is panini. I associate that with other things.
But no, like when the swipe challenge was going on, I remember this one TikTok she made where she was like wiping down, you know, a mirror going like swipe, swipe. And like it started out with her in her usual Jojo Siwa gear. And then she swiped and then her like regular clothes. I swear she had an undercut in that video. And like she looked...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. She had a very chapstick lesbian vibe. And I was like, are you trying to tell us something?
You could put on before she could come out.
I just sensed it, like my mind.
We say LGBT people like have brain, like we are connected by brainwaves.
Hive yes, mind.
Telepathy.
Hive mind.
But no, I love her. And I'm very, very happy for her.
Me too.
Has she put out music? And but I never,
maybe,
never watched any of the stuff. I just know of her.
Yeah, I know of her, but I'm not quite sure what she does. I know she has a YouTube channel.
We are subscribing.
Yes, we are. I just like how she put it when she was on the interview. She said something like, if I was to lose everything that I created because of loving who I want to love, then I don't want it. And she said that was her main motivation, beside from her girlfriend.
She's such a legend.
She is. And then she was even clocking the haters on Instagram. Some Karens were commenting stuff like, I'll never let my child watch you again. And she was just like, okay.
Okay, and I'm still
like,
in my bed.
Literally. We support JoJo in this house.
Okay, can I just say, I love BCA music, and I think it was just made for me. So much of like hyperpop and BCA music was literally like all of it, I would say, built off the backs of like queer people. And I don't think we acknowledge that enough. And I think that music is like so key to a sort of club culture that we've had as a community.
I never knew the other half of 100 Gecs was trans.
Oh yeah, Laura is trans. And I love her. She is such a queen. Like, they seem like really nice people too. Based on like interviews and stuff, they always just seem like such nice people. And I'm like so excited to see like what the sort of more hyperpop PC music influences sort of becoming more mainstream. I'm so excited to see what happens next for pop music. The gays are taking over.
The gays are taking over. Yeah.
They are.
Is Mitski a gay icon?
What? Mitski is a lesbian icon. Love she her. Invented yearning.
She did, honestly. I bet, you know how you can see like Google Trends, like people search up words? Probably went out when she blew up, honestly.
So true.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh yes, I don't think she was expecting that.
I just remembered. You can't deny it.
I love Carly Rae Jepsen's music. I love her, but I feel like every time someone brings her up, I just this like meme flashes through my head, which is like a photo of her and text that says, "Well-behaved bottoms rarely make history."
Stop.
Oh my god.
Find it, meme, send it to us.
Yes, send it. I need to see.
that meme lives in my head rent-free. But also, like, one of my mutuals said this thing that, like, is so true, where he was like, Carly Rae Jepsen is a queen because she makes music for adults who, like, had really traumatic or, like, problematic romantic experiences when they were younger, who are like sort of trying to love themselves again and like open up their hearts to like a real healthy love. And it's so true. And I think that's part of why her music resonates with like so many gay people as well, because I think for a lot of us, like our first sort of gay experiences were, they were problematic to say the least.
Yeah.
And I think as adults, you know, having to learn to prioritize our needs and take care of us is a tricky thing. And, you know, like being vulnerable is a tricky thing. And I think her music really understands that.
Kali, you can listen to this.
Collaborate with us. I can sing, I promise. I like, also, I like Choi Sivan's music, but I feel like he makes music for straight people. Do you get me?
Yeah, I get you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Has some good songs, though.
I feel that way about Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah.
I really like her music. Like, I have spent all of last year streaming Punisher. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about her music, which is like, this feels straight.
I agree. I agree.
Just the vibes. Something, I don't know. What compels people to make music with straight vibes?
How do we even begin to define straight vibes?
It's just something you can feel.
Starbucks. LSE has straight vibes.
Oh, for sure.
It is the straightest. 100%. It is genuinely the straightest campus in all of London at this point.
Honestly,
even like Imperial has more gay vibes than LSE does for some reason.
I agree. I feel like LSE is also in the straightest part of London.
True.
Just Holborn in general.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
UCL. Yes, true. Are we getting into the university gay vibe discourse now?
They're absolutely like the most unquantifiable.
if you're gay, you get what we're talking about.
Yeah, if you're gay, this episode is for you. This is episode is only for the gays. If you're straight,
get out.
My PayPal. You can message me for my PayPal. I deserve compensation.
All the vibes are found on Beaver Sound.
Exactly. If you're listening to this, join us.
Good plug. Good plug.
And with that, I think we can end this episode.
Yes, we can.
Thanks for listening to this episode.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, Mom.